This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, it's Danny. I'm 45. I'm from Manchester. I joined the OTI community in October 21. I was sceptical at first because I'm not on any sort of social media, and I've been in a couple of other very large online sober communities before. I was amazed right from the offset at the involvement that Shaz and Ben have in the community. I thoroughly enjoy the Zoom calls, and I've met some pretty good pals along the way that I didn't realise I was in the market for. We've been out for hikes. It's just great. I've been in touch with like-minded people, and it really has been a game changer. So I'd encourage anybody to give it a go.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to Over the Influence. It is fantastic to have you listening. My name is Sharon Hartley. I am based in Lancashire in the northwest of England. I am 5.5 years alcohol free. I stopped drinking in September 2018. I only ever wanted to take a break because I drank too much, too quickly, far too often. I'm chuffed to bits to be recording today after what occurred this weekend, because we were up massive mountains and it was treacherous and terrifying. And I'm actually, Ben, my legs are still screaming. I don't think I'm as fit as I used to be. And all this about, you know, connecting with nature and getting out there, I'm over it for the time being, to be honest. Ben, how are you feeling?
Are we talking now? Because there was a point on Saturday, we were about 4 hours in to the Scarfell Pike walk, and I was with Shaz at the back, and you said, I was like, oh, come on, we're nearly there, we can do it. And Shaz just turned around, she went, can we not f***ing talk, please? And I went, oh, blimey. She said, that was quite sharp. I thought you were joking. I was like, oh, yeah. And you went, no, let's not talk for a little bit, okay? I was like, oh, blimey, right, this is serious.
It was awful. I couldn't breathe. I was in a bad place on that ascent. It was I didn't like it, Ben.
It was tough, but it was wonderful in many ways, because as always, hello, by the way, I'm Ben, I'm 35, live in Liverpool. I gave up drinking and started doing things like walking up mountains for fun. Although it wasn't that fun.
It wasn't much fun.
let's be honest now. We've got a few community members on this call who were there on the mountain with us. It was hailing. It was gale force winds. It was March in the Lake District.
Sub-zero temperatures.
It was. Yeah. It wasn't the best conditions. Mm-hmm. But I have to say, 30 people up and down Scarfell, all alcohol free. We still had some good conversation. And I love it when you come off the back of it and the WhatsApp groups, even though me and you are like, oh my God, that was dreadful. Everyone had a horrible time. Everyone's going, oh my God, I love today. It was great to meet you. All these enthusiastic alcohol-free people. It's fabulous, isn't it, really?
Yeah. I mean, joking apart, it's brilliant. None of it would be happening. None of it would be happening if me and thee, Ben, hadn't made that decision.
Look, Camilla, who was there, just put in the chat box watching this Zoom call, we'll do it again next year, heart, heart. These enthusiastic alcohol-free people.
No, obviously, she didn't hear what I said on the way down, and I won't repeat it all because you don't know who's listening to this. I don't want to swear.
You used some really, really rude
some
words.
Quite choice weekend. Language.
I learned some new words, actually, as a result. Yeah.
I am never doing that mountain ever again as long as I live. I think it was something along those lines.
We could
talk about this all day, but we're not going to, because this main podcast is all about the guests. It is about the guest stories, and we're dead chuffed today to finally be speaking to Vanessa McPhee, aka the Sober Bus. Vanessa, thank you so much for tolerating again a really long-winded intro for waiting patiently in the wings. Welcome to Over the Influence. Vanessa, how are you doing?
Hi, thank you. Yeah, I'm good, thanks, and it's great to finally meet you both. I've been an avid listener over the last couple of years out and about walking my dog, so yeah, it's great to meet you.
Absolutely brilliant stuff, and thank you for listening. It's always good to have people join us on the podcast that listen which is fantastic.
Makes it easier, doesn't it?
It does make it a bit easier setting it up.
Yeah. And we're like, sorry, this, I know it sounds really slick when it comes out, but it is chaos behind the scenes. And you go, it's all right. Don't worry. I've been listening. I know what you like.
Vanessa gets all that. Tell me about your dogs. Paddy and Wiggins. Have I got that right there?
Yeah, Paddy and Wiggins. Yeah, Wiggins we adopted. He was 8 months old. He's completely white and he's born deaf and he was chucked out. And here he
oh,
is.
Oh, look at him. Look.
Oh, he's gorgeous.
He's an absolute little
beautiful
punk.
Blue eyes.
And then Paddy, come here, Baba. So Wiggins came from Durham and then Paddy came over on a boat. Come up, darling. He can hear. Come up. It's okay. I'm not going to tell you
what. On Zoom.
Oh, one, two, three. Here's Paddy.
Oh, hi, Paddy.
Hi, Paddy.
Look at Paddy. He's
just, very well-trained
dogs. Just, no, they're not. He's just so adorable and he's such a good boy. Go back to Auntie Jo. Go on.
If I wanted Dolly to join the Zoom call now, who is our sausage dog, I'd be yelling Dolly for about 2 minutes across the room and she'd just stare at me and probably do a poo on the rug again. Like, honestly, your dog just literally just came to you then straight away. That's amazing.
Because
so
since
jealous.
I've been at home since COVID, they literally, we haven't been separated. Well, we were, which I'll talk about, but yes, they're very clingy to me now, which you'll Aww. Understand why. Yeah.
Vanessa, thank you. I love having dogs on Zoom and that was beautiful meeting Paddy and Wiggins. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
We want to get to know you, Vanessa, and we would love you to share about your own alcohol-free journey. Do you mind if we go back to the 29th of September, 2021?
Yeah, sure.
And I'll just quote this little bit of information that you send us, if you don't mind, Vanessa. I stopped drinking after I was found at the bottom of my stairs by a neighbour on that date. What happened?
Yeah, I was, I don't know. I was found at the bottom of the stairs and Joe, who is my ex and is now my best friend after we had separated, was concerned and had rung the neighbour and said, I can't get hold of Vanessa. She was at work. Have you got a spare key? Can you go in? And so they came in and found me. Literally, my body had started slowly packing in, shutting down, and I was taken to hospital. If we just take it back just a wee bit before then, I think the main event that got me to that place was COVID. There were so many things going on that we were put on furlough, which meant I didn't have that connection and community with people at work. Like everybody else, I was isolated. My job was in a garden centre, so you couldn't do that working from home. So my mental health declined and my drinking increased. And the lockdown then came, which caused even more problems because I was drinking more. But if you're in a small village in North Yorkshire with no public transport, no shop, how am I going to get the thing that I'm addicted to that keeps me going? And if I come down from it, I could go into serious withdrawals. So it was a military decision, not just by myself, but from people in the village as well that would help me get the alcohol. Amazon were delivering, but then they would put a limit on it. Staying up till 3 a.m. to try and get a slot with your supermarket, but then they put a limit on how much you could give. It was all very, very exhausted. And then I was made redundant. I wasn't invited back to work after furlough. And my legs stopped working for some reason. I found it very hard to walk. My skin was like as if I had been burnt in certain areas. I was falling over a lot most days. My hair was falling out. I had lots of scabs and my legs just and my feet just filled up with water. It wasn't pleasant and I wouldn't have wished it on anyone. But I was with North Yorkshire Horizons. And they are an addiction clinic in the town next to where, the village where I live. And they had put me on a reduction program. back to September 29th, 2021. So yeah, I was taken to hospital. I can't remember any of it, apart from a couple of things. First of all, I was taken to the larger hospital near here. It's a James Cook Hospital. Now, I was taken there, and apparently I was there a week. Don't know anything about that. And then I was taken to another hospital. Don't remember anything about that, apart from I asked the doctor. I remember looking at the doctor and saying, why can't my legs work? And the next thing I know, I'm in Saltburn in a nursing home in the middle of lockdown because apparently I wasn't well enough to go home. But this is 2 and a bit weeks later, but I'm still hallucinating, not knowing where I am, thinking that the Germans are invading the nursing home, and I'm trying to make space under my bed. And I remember telling the cleaner one morning, you've got to make space for me under the bed because I hear the Germans coming. Apparently I was ringing the police, and I gave them a telephone number of somewhere in Jersey, because I went to Jersey for 4 years, and eventually they traced my call, got in touch with the nursing home and said, you know, you have a resident who's obviously very ill. Can you go and tend to her? I didn't have a clue. I think I must have tried to escape because they put Joe's nodded now and saying, yes, you did. They put a clause on me. What's it called, Joe, please? Privileges. Basically, if I was found wandering the streets, the police could pick me up and take me to a police station, and then I would be logged on somewhere because I was a risk to myself. So I must have been trying to escape, and I can understand why, because I'd been wanting to get back to my dogs because I would have been panicking, like, what, where am I? Who's got my dogs? What's going on? And another thing that went, I had to learn to write again. I'd lost the ability to write. And when I was writing, it was extremely messy. Eventually, I came home. I think the whole period was about 3 months. And then when I did come home, after the huge welcome from the boys, which someone recorded for me, and it was just absolutely so gorgeous. As I walked through to the kitchen, I said to Joe, there was a little card from Specsavers saying, fairy focals. And I said, oh, who wears baby focals? And she said, you do. And I was like, do I? Oh, right. I was like, I walked into the kitchen. I went, do I have a microwave? I couldn't remember anything. I didn't know which sockets did which. The delirium and the confusion that the alcohol had caused was massive. It was huge. So, yeah, it's been a gradual process, and I think now I know what every socket does in the house. But my recovery basically started with listening to Over the Influence, walking the dogs, also listening to Janie Lee Grace, and also listening to Sober Dave. Those three just kept me going, and then that was, oh, this! I was finding things educational, but happy, jovial. Then I thought, I don't know if you pronounce it Dr. Chatterjee or Dr. Chatterjee.
Dr. Rangan Chatterjee.
Yeah. And then also, I was during this period of recovery, I was diagnosed with ADHD. And that's something, I mean, I'm nearly 53. And when I looked into Kate Mousserieff, I think she's called. She has a podcast, ADHD with Women. Oh, that resonated so much as well. So now I'm getting all these things that are resonating with me. And I was working through things with North Yorkshire Horizons to do with addiction. And they mentioned smart recovery. And I'd never heard of this. I don't know if you guys have, but it runs along.
Yeah, yeah.
It runs very similar to the AA. And it stands for self-management and recovery training. And it bases itself on, like, there's four key concepts, which is coping with urges, managing thoughts, motivation. And then this is the big one for me is living a balanced life, which is what it juggles a lot of things. And when it gets slightly tipped and unbalanced, that's when I can tell that things are slightly going wrong again. I've learned a lot about managing emotions. Emotions, wow, where do you start? I think for me, that was massive.
Vanessa, would you mind if we jumped in very quickly? Because I know that that's exactly something Shaz wants to ask you about. There's lots of things that you've just told us. I know that Shaz wants to jump in on. But before we do, would you mind explaining? Because there's a couple of times where you've referenced Joe, and you've already told us Joe is your former partner, now best friend. But can you explain to us why Joe's there with you today?
Yeah, Joe's here with me to help me out. She has been the best companion and manager of thoughts, and to make sure I don't give any massive blunders like my telephone number, name and address, bank account details.
Vanessa, we wouldn't let you, don't you worry.
For X, Y, and Z, and also here's my dad's. Do you know what I mean? And come round tomorrow night for a party.
but Joe's there, as you said, as support, because of the alcohol and what's happened. You struggle with certain aspects, don't you, in communication?
Yeah, that's right. There is certain areas of that I have now got cognitive impairment. So I also have trouble recalling information that has gone in. Yeah, that was really, really frustrating and upsetting, because I went away and I studied hard and I basically explained to my CPN, and now I feel like I'm thick as two short planks. And she was like, no, you're not.
For the record, Vanessa, you're doing amazing, by the way. Absolutely amazing, and it's brilliant that Joe's able to support you. There is so much to talk about, and it's fantastic to see and hear where you are now from that torrid time back in September 2021. Can we just go back a little bit further? Because the drinking didn't just occur over lockdown, did it? This is a build-up of many, many years.
Yeah, I roughly would say about 30 years of heavy drinking. And a lot of the time it was drinking on my own. And if it wasn't on my own, it would be immediately after work. Then in the latter years, it was not only just after work, it was on the way home from work. Joe would be driving, and we would stop at the garage, and I immediately got my three bottles of Henry Weston's, and I'd start before we'd even arrived at home. So that was, I would say, the last year before COVID, Joe, wouldn't you? Yeah, it did get really, maybe two, it did get really intense, especially in 2015. We lost our beloved Black and Tan. Oh, she's on a picture there behind me. You can see on Zoom.
On the Zoom call there.
Yeah, she's beautiful. Yeah, we had to make that awful decision, 16 and a half years old, to have her put to sleep. And the grief literally hit me like I was running into a wall. It was just explosion. And it took 3 years. And I was offered counselling, and I turned it down. And that was a huge regret, because I wish I had taken it, but I was too embarrassed. I was too embarrassed because it's a dog, but it's not. I should have looked at it and flipped the coin and said, "But it's grief. It doesn't matter what it's over. It's grief."
Vanessa, you talked about how you're drinking. You know, it's over 30 years that this was gradually becoming worse. You know, you were drinking at home, then you were drinking on the way home. Earlier on, you talked about, you know, your face was like it was burnt, your legs were swollen. And just to clarify, that is just because of the amount of alcohol you were drinking.
I can't put it down to anything else. My tongue was, it didn't feel right. It was slimy. My teeth were getting rotten. My hygiene had declined. I think it's basically because my body was slowly shutting down in certain areas, and it wasn't able to then replenish itself because I wasn't giving it the right ingredients, the right vitamins. My blood sugar was just through the roof because the amount of sugar that was going into my body. So it's not just the liver that gets affected. It's the whole body and the brain. Like I said, the brain's damaged now in a certain area of the frontal lobe. And unfortunately, that won't improve. I'm stuck with that now. But yeah, you can only put it down to it's self-harm in a way, but it's on the other side of it. It's also like your comfort blanket. It's a soother. And I needed a soother, and alcohol became my soother.
How are you finding it, Vanessa? Everything okay so far?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Yeah,
you both look good. Much younger, I just have to tell you.
I like Vanessa a lot. I said she'd be good.
Yes, I've got something ace to come to you.
Oh, let's not wait, Vanessa. Come on, let's crack on. What? I'm intrigued.
So in my recovery, I had a huge problem with socialising. And in the first year, I didn't really go out because I also had this huge thing of shame in the village. There would be emergency services turning up at my door. There was a young lady in the nursing home called Leanne, and we had loads of things in common, but one of them was our huge love for the singer Pink.
OMG, so Vanessa.
I said, when I got out, I said, we're going to go because she's coming to the UK. Anyway, we kept really good friends and we're still really good friends now. She's one of my besties, is Leanne. And so we went and we got, with the money that I'd been able to save from not drinking, now it's about £7,500, which was like, oh my word. And so we went to Pink. We were in the gold circle at the front.
Oh, get you.
At Sunderland. And at one point, she literally, like, she sang right at me and she winked. And we both looked at each other and went, that wasn't me. No, it wasn't me. There was a really.
Oh, Vanessa, I love that so much.
But I was dreading going and I nearly gave away my ticket. I nearly, because I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. And then I can remember looking at these people and they had lager or cider or whatever in two pint pots.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, oh my word. And I didn't have the urge. It didn't trigger me. I was just thinking, I'm not queuing to the toilet. I'm not queuing at the bar. I'm stood here and tomorrow I'm going to remember everything about this concert, absolutely everything. And she was amazing, wasn't she? She was amazing.
I'm so chuffed here, and I feel really proud that you did that. I went to the Bolton gig, and I actually went with an old school friend that I hadn't been with in years. I kept saying, we should get together. Anyway, I ended up with two tickets and I got in touch with this friend and I said, do you want to come and see Pink with me? And she went, are you kidding me? OMG. Yes. It was one of the best sober gigs I've ever been to in my life. So Vanessa, thank you so much for sharing that story. I feel your sister. I know where you're coming from. She's just such an icon. Absolutely brilliant. As Ben mentioned, Vanessa, we want to pick up and talk about emotions because, again, going back to some of the information that you've shared with us, you're really keen to share your story to show people that there is help and that you can learn about your emotions and anger and self-worth and managing all that. Let's talk a bit more about that and maybe how how difficult that has been.
Yeah, emotions was huge. And I learned something called Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And it's this pyramid. And each one has a certain label for the certain step to get up to the top. And near the bottom is a huge slot called emotions and managing. And I think I must have skipped that bit. And I think our era did back then in the late 70s, early 80s. I don't think it was recognised of how important it actually is. And I wish it had been taught in schools. I wish DBT had been in schools, CBT, the umbrella for all of this. One of the biggest things that I did within the emotions was putting up boundaries when I got home, when I first became sober. I erased loads of people off my Facebook account, those people that always had a glass of alcohol, it's wine o'clock, they went. Those people that always had holiday photographs but nothing else, they went. Those people who really gave out a non-realistic life. And it's not something that I wanted to turn my phone on, go and have a look and just have that on. I also came a lot into mindfulness and meditation. That helped my emotions brilliantly. If you'd have told me to meditate, to try meditation back when I was drinking, I'd have laughed you out of the house. I really would. I thought it would be hippies dancing naked at the bottom of the garden. But no. And there's loads on YouTube. I started off with Boho Beautiful. And now I just pick and choose. Usually morning mindful meditation on YouTube or evening mindful meditation. And mindfulness I do out when I'm walking. And I don't go in for like counting colours or concentrate on what I'm eating and the process of. That's too much for my head. But what I do is I go out when I'm walking the boys and I'm studying the sky. I nearly fell over the other day. There was a buzzard and it was flying around and I was mindfully watching it. And I went backwards and I nearly caught myself falling back over, but I do, and I go and watch the birds, and I go and watch the insects, the butterflies, and I've started noting them. I come back and look in my book which birds I've seen, which butterflies I've seen, and I take photos and I post them on this Soberbus page that I started about a year ago.
Because mindfulness, Vanessa, I think people, like you say, people can get it confused sometimes. It's just literally about being present in the moment, mindfulness, isn't it? So, you know, you do it whilst you're walking the dogs. I mean, someone can be mindfully skipping naked around the bottom of their garden if they want to, but you just choose to do your mindfulness fully clothed and in the park instead with the dogs, which is great. Why do you think, when you were drinking, why can you so resolutely say, I never would have done that as a drinker? Like, how can you, like, why? What's the thing that means that as a non-drinker you embrace it, when as a drinker you would just never even consider it?
Because in my kind of, I would call it, it's not the cost-benefit analysis, it's sort of priority of, I suppose it is a cost-benefit analysis of what is most important in my life. And back when I was drinking, the number one thing in my cost benefit would be the alcohol. That's what drove me. Whereas now it's my health and well-being, and that's number one. And within that category comes mindfulness, meditation, attending smart meetings, listening to sober podcasts, learning about DBT and learning about my emotions and how to manage them. Within SMART, there are so many tools that you learn of how to manage your triggers, your urges, the cost-benefit analysis. There's lots of acronyms. I love the one called STOP because it's the only one I can remember. And it's when you start to get a bit overwhelmed. The S stands for stop, take a deep breath. O is observe what's going on around you and within you. And then the P is for proceed, mindfully. Like I say, it's probably one of the, I use it, I would say, a dozen times a day. Things just start to get just a bit too much. Just take that step back, take a deep breath, and carry on mindfully, just a bit slower. That's one of the great things that I appreciate, is taking that time out. I don't think I'd have been able to recover as well as what I have done and get here today if I had been working. I think being made redundant was a massive, massive merit rather than like a loss, because it worked out. Yeah, I did get really upset about it, but I did need to stop drinking. I was being pulled in at work for it. You know, people could smell it on my breath. So something had to give. But what I don't agree with is people saying that the worst thing that I was told was, you will start to get better when you hit that rock bottom. So what did I do? I was waiting for the rock bottom, and the rock bottom didn't arrive. So I chased it, and I went worse and worse and worse, and got worse and worse, because I wanted the rock bottom to arrive, because I was desperate to get better.
I'm so glad that you brought that up, Vanessa, because I was trying to work out how to ask you that exact question in a way that wouldn't upset you in any way, because what you've described to us is a very shocking. You were found at the bottom of the stairs by a neighbour and Joe. That is so upsetting that that was the how the drinking came to an end for you, and then obviously your recovery started. But that is such a traumatic thing to happen. My question to you was going to be, you know, how you've learned so much since, you know, it's part of your recovery. You're talking to us about cost benefit analyses and, you know, all these brilliant things that you've learned that benefit body and mind. Do you think you would have been in a place to have heard that earlier? Like if that person, I don't know who it was, and, you know, or the group that you're in, I don't want you to tell us who mentioned that rock bottom, because that's so dangerous, isn't it? We preach the exact opposite here at Over the Influence, as I'm sure that you've heard, as someone who's listened to a lot of our podcasts. You don't need to have a rock bottom to decide to go to change, to go, actually, this isn't serving me anymore. Could that message have got through to you when you were a drinker still, do you think? If the messaging had been different?
I think that's really hard to answer, because I wasn't well enough to make any life-changing decisions when I was as poorly as I was, because I think if you take it back to when I was in education, and if DBT and CBT had been taught then, I would have been able to handle my emotions a lot better and possibly reach out for help instead of trying to cope with things on your own. And that's one of the biggest things mistake that I made is that I thought I could manage it on my own. And I was too proud to go and ask for help. And now when I look back at it and I think that, Vanessa, they're the professionals. They've qualified in this. They get paid a lot of money. You don't know what they know. You don't know best. And yeah, if I had gone, then perhaps. But would I have accepted that advice given when I was ill? Probably not, because I was too ill.
I think that's an amazing viewpoint on it, actually, because what you're saying is that no, you didn't need someone to talk to you at that point about your drinking. You needed someone to talk to you about opening up in general.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But like I say, if I had been taught, I can't look into a crystal ball and you can't change the past. But if I had the education and knowledge going way back to the 80s, then I think, and not just me, I think a lot of people's mental health would be a lot better today than it is.
Vanessa, thank you. How are you feeling? Are you happy chatting?
I'm very happy chatting. Thanks. I've got two more cards.
I'm loving this. Well, I mean, you're more organised than myself and Ben, if you don't
mind.
You
know what? I'd like you to not look at your cards for a sec, Vanessa. And I'd like to ask you, because I know she's there in the room listening in. She can't hear us, though, can she, Jo? Because you've got your headphones on.
She can't hear us, can you? She's going, no.
Can you tell us about Jo and what Jo has been in terms of kind of supporting you? You've known Jo for a long time. Mm-hmm. But can you tell us what Jo's done for you, how you feel about Jo?
How do I feel about Jo? I love her immensely. I do. I know we'll never get back together again because I've bugged her endlessly about it and she's told me no. But you know what? I don't care because it's the best relationship ever. I have my house. She has her house over there up the village. We share the dogs. I do a bit of gardening for her because I don't drive. She takes me to my appointments. It's just... I have my remote control here. She has her remote control up there.
Perfect setup, Vanessa, this.
And Jo has so much respect, bless her. She doesn't drink in the house. Christmas, because we spend Christmas Day together, and I said to her, you can bring your own little bit of wine. And she said, no, it's probably for the best, I don't. So yeah, I have massive respect for her. And I think you've got a bit of respect for me now, haven't you? Rather, she's going, no.
We can see the finger gestures on camera here.
She said you might have to edit that bit.
Oh, no, we'll keep that bit in. Don't worry about that. But what an amazing support to have at a time in your life when you absolutely needed that. What a phenomenal friend to have by your side.
Yeah, Jo organised lots of things behind the scenes that I didn't know was going on, but she kept the house going and the dogs and taking them out and everything whilst still working, whilst I was away in contact with my family I remember once, and it resonates with this. I remember once watching, because I was a big Michael Jackson fan. Oh, I went to see him as well, Shaz, at Leeds on his 30th birthday. It was amazing.
Did you actually?
Yeah.
What year was that, Vanessa?
85, maybe it's 86.
I think I was at Aintree in about 86. I saw the same tour.
Yeah.
We've got so much in common when it comes to pop stars.
But yeah, he was amazing. So I had, because I was a Michael Jackson fan, I had a video of, and there was a clip on the video of them making for the song We Are the World. And I think it was Diana Ross that was being interviewed. And she said, Michael quietly went around directing the whole thing, but very subtly. And that's what Jo did whilst I was away for those 3 months. She just quietly organized everything in her own little way, and so when I came back it was just like I'd never been away.
But I mean, she didn't need to do that for you, did she?
No, she didn't, but she did. Yeah, she did. But that's Jo, and she won't take praise for that either. She just got on. That's what Jo does. She gets on with it. She's a proper Amazing. Yorkshire lass.
We like that. A strong Yorkshire lass.
Yeah.
You're not so bad yourself, Vanessa, to be honest.
That's very kind.
What I'm finding remarkable in this chat, and I think Ben will probably nod in agreement here, is, yeah, you've shared an absolutely awful rock bottom. But fast forward to where you are now, it's the learning and it's the self-development and it's the self-improvement and just taking all these tools on board, and you've gone, right, okay, this is where I was. I'm not going to stay there. And you've just worked your way back up, haven't you, from that rock bottom?
Yeah, but I did have problems, though, with the socialising side of things. Like I discussed going to a big concert from going to nothing. And it wasn't until just, I would say, about 6 months ago that I had a penny drop aha moment. And the aha moment was, I don't go to pubs anymore. And I was like, yeah, but that's what I've done for years and years and years. Straight to the pub. straight to the pub with the lads. And I don't do that anymore. And I was like, yeah, but why don't you do it? Why? And I just couldn't work it out. And I was like, oh, I've got it. So it's like a vegan go into a conference meeting where they're going to be butchers and slaughtering chickens. I wouldn't go because that's not, it's against my core beliefs as a vegan. So as a sober person, why would I want to go back to being a barfly? And I was like, oh, yeah, I'd much prefer to go and have a great big fat slab of cake and a cuppa in the garden centre with good friends, proper yeah. friends.
Can't beat it, can you? Yeah. You can't yeah. beat it. How it all changes.
Yeah.
We're talking about that at the moment as part of our community, is that why are the only things that you crawl bars? Like, when are we going to do a cake crawl?
Yeah.
That's what we want to do, a bakery crawl somewhere.
Can you imagine that?
We need to find a town where there are many bakeries within a square mile. That's what we need to do.
Some Yorkshire fat rascals.
What's a fat rascal?
I've never heard of those before.
No, I've been described like as that before now.
I'm about to say, yeah, me too. We're the fat rascals. Welcome to Over the Influence of the Fat Rascals, Ben and Shaz.
I think it's like a flattened scone with cherries in it.
Oh.
A fat rascal.
Oh, is it a fat rascal or a flat rascal?
Fat.
Oh, fat. No, we did get it right. Yeah,
fat,
yeah. Well maybe that's it. Maybe we'll come to Yorkshire for our first cake crawl.
Yeah,
but we're up for it.
Hold that thought. Yeah, absolutely. You. I'm really aware, Vanessa, that we are absolutely running out of time. Before we wrap up and say goodbye, I want to very quickly ask you about the Sober Bus. What is it and where can people find out more information about it?
Well, thank you very much for asking that, Sharon. Yeah, the Sober Bus is on Facebook and it's a place where hopefully people will learn what I couldn't find out during my years that I think now will have helped me. And it's signposting. It's also a bit quirky and it's also dog involved and it's also mindful walking involved, but mainly signpost into DBT skills, talking about smart recovery groups. The ones I attend are mainly in Canada because of the timing, but you can go on a smart meeting basically anywhere in the world at any time of the day, every day of the year on Zoom. So I try and promote that, and I try and promote health. There's a fitness group that I like to attend online, and I promote that on there. It's called Healthiness Limited, and there's a lady called Sue who runs that from Liverpool and Darlington. So yeah, it's things that, and it, I suppose in a way it's a bit like my journal in recovery and what I get up to, and hopefully it will help other people and think, I wish I'd known about that. Sleep. Oh, how important sleep is. My best sober sleep was, I love my bed now. I love my pillow.
You and me both.
That's just great. We also, I just must give a quick shout out to North Yorkshire Horizons Women's Group, because you know you have shit things written on cards or in shops.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, shit things on cards. You obviously listen to our premium pod. Yeah, okay.
Well, ladies, people
who aren't subscribed to our premium pod have got no idea what you're talking about, but we love it. Go for it.
It's called Shit Things Brought on Amazon. There's always one
I
of us.
I love that you do that.
Yeah, that's like, I can't believe I've bought this, how to make your washing line tighter. Oh, crikey. So, yeah. We have one of them going on, and then one of the ladies said, oh, crikey, no, don't, because that's a bit addictive. I was like, yeah, maybe. But I like the idea of it, your shit things bought on Amazon.
Well, maybe we won't mention the retailer. Maybe we'll say shit things on online stores or something like that.
Honestly, people who don't listen to our premium pod are just like, what the... are you talking about?
I'd also want to give a big shout out to a lady who helped me in the village. You know, there's those people that, again, like Joe, that are in the background. And this lovely lady's called Lynn. And she took me under her wing, her and her husband, and did my shopping. And Lynn Simpson, you're worth a million. Lynn and Joe and Leanne. Everyone needs one of those in their lives. So,
amazing.
Yeah.
Vanessa McPhee, the Sober Boss, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you join us on Over the Influence. Thank you so much. And also, we must give Joe, your busy mate in the background there, a big shout out as well for giving you a helping hand. Vanessa, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much.